The other 2% are physically present. We're kind of spacing out. If you are a guest with us, welcome. My name is Alex. I'm the pastor of Cascades. Our heartbeat is to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus and his way. We are going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19, that is. And we're talking about kids. And just as a quick preface, this week's been one of those weeks where as I'm studying, preparing, I just feel like so many, they're not going to show up in this message, but there's been so many moments where I'm like, wow, Lord, you are speaking to me about my own heart and about the way I relate to children. And so what's really interesting about this passage is that we'll celebrate scientists who discover cures for illness, leaders who contribute to our world. We celebrate social, political, and religious leaders who demonstrate a keen social and emotional awareness. We celebrate philosophers and writers for their minds and their ability to articulate themselves so wonderfully and effectively. And we celebrate people who are athletic, strong, and a picture of health. We value people who are strong, independent, knowledgeable, but put no burden on us. And that is why Jesus' words here in Matthew 19 are so striking. Because Jesus points to a group of people that while most would consider cute, many would also deem dependent, lacking in knowledge, lacking in self-awareness, awareness of others. And essentially, Jesus points to them and says, those are my kind of people. Jesus' words and posture towards children was as remarkable then as it is today, and he invites his followers to welcome children and all who are like them, to rediscover that entrance into the kingdom of heaven starts with coming to Jesus empty-handed, trusting and fully dependent on God's grace. So let's read what Jesus says to his disciples about children. Matthew 19, starting in verse 13. Then children were brought to him that Jesus might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Father in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus, the word incarnate, your message to us. And we ask that this morning we would have ears to hear what he has to say to us, and that we might be a people who receive it with joy. We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen. Let the little children come to me. Don't get in their way, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to little children and those who are like them. Really, that's who the kingdom belongs to. The children brought to Jesus were likely between 0 and 10 years old, little children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those small, weak, dependent, those lacking self-awareness and understanding and this ability to contribute to very much. And Jesus says, those are the ones. I have come to inaugurate the kingdom, this kingdom of heaven that I have been proclaiming to you with my words, my parables, and through acts of forgiveness, healing, salvation. That kingdom, it belongs to them and those who are like them. And when Jesus announces in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He's implying that God's glorious and restorative reign is inseparable from him, that he is the kingdom embodied. If you find Jesus, you've discovered the kingdom. If you've embraced Jesus, you've received the kingdom. And that matters because Jesus is telling his disciples here, don't hinder these little children from coming to me. Let them come to me. Let them be brought to me so that I can pray for them and bless them. I came to give them and those that are like them the keys to the kingdom. I came to give them access to this life. My kingdom belongs to little kids. How does this make sense? It doesn't make a ton of sense if you're thinking from a modern Western mindset, nor did it apparently make sense to people in the first century in ancient Israel. But it totally makes sense if you've been listening to Jesus' words throughout Matthew's gospel. In Matthew 18, just one chapter before what we've read, Jesus is teaching his disciples about greatness, about what greatness looks like. And this is what he says in verse 2. He says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." In Jesus' day, children had no rights. They had the same amount of rights as slaves in that day. They were expected to serve at the whims of the head of whatever household that they lived in. And they had very low social status. They had no influence or power or wealth. They were not considered intelligent or knowledgeable. They weren't strong or independent. They had potential value in that if they made it to adulthood, they could contribute. But as children, they did not. They couldn't produce very much. And that's part of what Jesus is getting at when he says, become like them. Little children serve as a picture for what people become when they embrace Jesus' good news. Little children are these dynamic portraits of life in the kingdom of heaven, a vivid and living model of those who have entered into the kingdom. Little children have nothing to offer, nothing to bring, and that captures the essence of what Jesus, of what we have and discover when we come to Jesus. When we encounter him, when we come into his presence, we see Jesus as he truly is, full of grace and truth. And we see ourselves fully known, loved, but also falling short of who he made us to be. And in his presence, then we learn just how weak and small and dependent on him we are, and we cry out for help, and we realize that we can't do it, that we can't be who we were meant to be apart from him. In his presence, we learn how loved we are by our Heavenly Father. See, Jesus hasn't come to find those who are strong, independent, and perfectly self-aware, nor has he come for those who are perfectly humble and dependent as if they actually exist already. Jesus has come and called people to himself, and then as a result of coming to Jesus and trusting him and embracing his reign, they become like little children. In other words, those who have entered into the kingdom of heaven are people who've encountered Jesus, embraced this new identity before God, and then others, a child of God, belonging to God, but also weak and dependent on his help and strength. And what this means is this, that Jesus has given us permission to become little children. He gives us freedom to experience life as children. And still, many of you hear that and you'd be like, I think I'll pass on that invitation. Like, I'm okay. I'm done. I've moved past that. I've grown. I have no need to be a child. Why is it so hard for us to want to become like little kids, let alone welcome them? I think it's because we struggle to relate to children. Children can make us uncomfortable. They behave, talk, and think differently than us. They have high needs. They're not independent at all. They cannot contribute in many ways, and when they want to help, they often need help helping you. They don't have the same mental or social or physical capacity as adults. Yet for some of us, it's not this. It's actually more so that we don't want to become like little children because for us, being a kid wasn't good. Some of us grew up with parents telling us that we are to be seen but not heard. We grew up feeling like anytime we asked our parents for something, we were just burdening them. We were taught that obedience gives you love. In practice, love was conditional. Some of us weren't given permission to be children. We were told to grow up and stop acting like a baby, which meant suppress your emotions, your desires, your voice, your needs. So we learned to act like adults, to get away from being a child. And the things that we learn, then we ultimately pass on to our kids or the kids around us, the kids that we influence. And yet that is not what Jesus wants to pass on to his disciples. And yet for others of us, it's none of those things. It's more of a mental hurdle. It's the idea of becoming a little child just feels backwards. It's not that Jesus is saying that we are to remain as children in our intelligence or our knowledge. As C.S. Lewis puts it, he wants a child's heart, but a grown-up's head. A child's heart. So why did the disciples try to stop these children from coming to Jesus, from being brought to Jesus? The text doesn't really tell us exactly why. It could be that they had a distaste for children, maybe, or simply thought that kids should be seen or not heard, maybe. But it's also possible that they thought maybe they were disturbing what Jesus was doing in that moment, in the middle of his ministry or in teaching. But what's the reason that the people brought the children to Jesus in the first place? What does Matthew tell us? It was so that Jesus would lay hands on them and pray. The adults knew Jesus' ministry. Those who were around who had heard about Jesus, they heard about what Jesus was about, what he was doing. They heard about his claims, and they wanted to see Jesus bless their kids. And the disciples, it's possible, they thought that these little kids were too young to make a responsible decision on Jesus' claims. They lacked that capacity to weigh Jesus' words and deeds and make a decision. So why bother bringing your kids to Jesus? Please let Jesus give his time to those who have the capacity and the interest to evaluate his claims and respond to him. It's possible they wanted to keep the children away from Jesus because they weren't able to respond to him. But in so doing, they are limiting the reach of Jesus. And that's the problem Jesus has. For Jesus, stopping them from coming to the king to him is equivalent to stopping them from coming into the kingdom. Hence, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and went away. Pay attention to what Jesus gives to these children, because it matters for God's people. Because what Jesus is doing in this passage is teaching his disciples about how he wants them to see and relate to children. So there's something for us here. What does Jesus give to these children? It's stunning, and yet it affirms something that kids need. He gives them time. Let them come to me. Do not hinder them. Let them come. Whatever he's doing, the disciples are like, don't interrupt, don't come. And Jesus is like, no, let them. Let them come. They are not, as far as I'm concerned, they're not a nuisance. They're welcome. He lays hands on them. He gives them, he embraces them. This is like he gives them physical touch. Kids need that affection. And he prays for them. And then fourth, most mysterious is, he says the kingdom belongs to them. The kingdom is for those who have entered, who have found Jesus and entered into life with him. And Jesus is saying then that salvation is for them too. Jesus shows us that children need and deserve time, touch, prayer, and salvation. And so parents, whenever you're making time for your kids, whenever you embrace them, whenever you're praying for them, whenever you're welcoming them, you are modeling the heart of Jesus to them. Church, when we do this, when we call them up and we pray for them, that's a beautiful act of Jesus' heart for children. When kids are in this space and they're loud and running through us, there's going to be moments where it does feel like it's a burden or it's an inconvenience, and yet Jesus is like, they're a gift. The kingdom belongs to them too. They're supposed to be here. They're supposed to be seen and heard. The cries, the squawks, the complaints sometimes, the requests for more juice boxes. Our Lord loves them and welcomes them. Therefore, we will love them and welcome them. Jesus wants a child's heart. He loves them too. And the story, it only has two verses, and yet in it, Jesus teaches us so much. Children are to be welcomed as a gift among us. Jesus rebukes those who want to keep children away from him. Children can receive a blessing from the hands of Jesus, even though they're too young to fully ask him or understand who he is. As one theologian put it, Christ does not only receive those who voluntarily come to him of a holy desire and moved by faith, but those who may not yet be old enough to realize how much they need grace. He also teaches us they can enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he teaches us that they are able to model the conditions of entry into the kingdom of heaven. What's striking to me is Jesus never had children of his own. So for some of you, you're like, I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to relate. Jesus never had kids either. Yet he loved them. They were precious to him, and he welcomes them. There are people I know who they just have a way with kids. Even as I share this, there's probably people you know of where you've seen them and they just have a knack for connecting to kids. They have a way of making kids feel special and unique. Yes, they're adults and big, but many times it's like you see them and they're like down on their knee and they're relating to them on their level. There are people in my kids' life, they love this specific grown-up because of the way he makes them feel. He genuinely wants to hear what they have to say. He thinks of them. Sometimes he'll bring them a gift or this or that, but they just feel like, oh, that person is one of my people. That, you know, when I think of those people, they're not bothered by whatever apparent weaknesses kids have, by their lack of awareness. They love the hearts of children. They love their curiosity, their playfulness. They don't see a burden or a nuisance. They see a precious gift, and the kids, they feel that. And so they want to be around that person. I recognize that this way of relating to children, it comes easier to some than to others. But I think all of us can grow in this. This is something that I have found God growing in me. The people I know who are like this, they all have this common trait. They've met Jesus, trusted in him, and embraced his rule. And in that relationship, they've become children of God who love like Jesus. And so by extension, in those interactions that these children are having with adults and where they feel like they're welcome and loved, they're actually encountering the love of God through this person, because that person actually knows Jesus, and Jesus has been changing them, helping them to see they are a child of God. They've discovered the Father's love, the love of the Father who has many children but no grandchildren, and that love extends to the world. How do we know? In John's gospel, he writes, "Yet to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." In 1 John chapter 3, John will write, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." There's something about embracing Jesus, about encountering him, beginning to trust him and embrace his rule for our lives, that begins to transform us. From the starting point, we become children of God, but then it's a life of learning to live as children of God, to receive the Father's love and to give the Father's love. The Father loves his children. He loves you. He wants to father you, to care for you, to heal you, to hear you, to be interrupted by you, to teach you, to provide for you, to guide, In Psalm 32, the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And the way that God loves to do this is through his Son, Jesus Christ. The way he brings about rebirth is through receiving Jesus. All that he is offering is available through him. That's why when you pray, Jesus says, when you pray, you should relate to God as Father, our Father in heaven. In fact, if you think of the Sermon on the Mount, over and over again, Jesus is trying to teach his people, when you know my Father, you should relate to him as Father. So when you pray, our Father in heaven. When you are thinking about the things that you need in life, you need to know your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus says, the birds do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? A huge part of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus saying, you need to see the Father's heart for you, how he sees you, how he relates to you. And you need to learn to live in light of that as a child of God. Becoming a child of God is a promise that we receive when we embrace Jesus. Therefore, the pathway to loving children, to welcoming them as Jesus does, and becoming little children is the same. It's encountering Jesus. God wants a child's heart, but a grown-up's head. Give him your heart daily, and he'll give you his heart. As Frederick Dale Bruner says, contact with Jesus, the Jesus of the Gospels, will keep the specialness of children before our eyes. Contact with the Jesus of the Gospels will keep the specialness of children before our eyes. He's saying the more we come in contact with Jesus, the more that we will learn to see children and those who are like them with the same eyes that the Father has for them. See, the same thing that Jesus gives to these little children in our passage, time, touch, prayer, salvation, he loves to give to you. He wants us to experience this life of being a student of life the way kids are. Kids are always learning, and they screw up, and it's not always a big deal. They get back up. Today, I was going up the stairs, a huge crash. And someone told me, like, basically, I was coming up these stairs right here, and it was a very loud crash, like, louder than it needed to be. And my knee still hurts because of it. And everyone who was in the foyer just ran and looked over the stairs. And I was like, oh, dear. And everyone's coming out of concern, out of care, right? But I felt this, like, this sense of, like, dang, negative attention. I just tripped. I just fell. I don't want to be seen, right? Kids can have a moment like that, and then they just get up and carry on. What they often need briefly is they look to their parents like, am I okay? Should I cry? And the parents are like, no, you're good. You get back up, right? There's something about life that God wants us to experience where, yes, we will fall as we learn to walk with Jesus. But you get back up, and his grace is more than enough for you. And I've shared this story in the past, but there's been at times where one of my kids is learning how to walk. They're just not very balanced. But because they're holding my hand, they might lose their balance. They might trip on something, but I'll just catch them before they fully face plant. And there's something about what God wants us to experience with him as Father where it's like, yeah, you're going to fall. But you'll never fall so hard so as to be too far from me. That I am with you. I am your Father. And it gives me great joy to guide you, to teach you, to provide for you. Children, unlike me, have no sense of pride. They'll fall, they get back up. Children love to receive gifts. They get one gift, and that's like, what's the next one? They're ready for the next one. They are not ashamed of their weakness. They can ask for help very quickly. I can't do this. Can you help me open this? They are not ashamed of their dependence. In fact, their dependence for them, it just means they get to be close to you. And that's what they want. They are not bothered that they have nothing to bring to the relationship except themselves. And this is what Jesus wants you to see is life in the kingdom. This is what he wants for you. It's like, this can be you. You don't have to be ashamed of your weakness, of your dependence, of having nothing to bring. This is the very entrance into the kingdom, is you recognizing this. That's why the very first beatitude is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who have nothing to own, those who are waiting and desperately dependent on God's help, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to little children because they know they can't do it. They don't have the resources. They don't have it all together. And they're therefore willing to receive. In that sense, little children and the poor in spirit are synonymous. It's the starting point of life in the kingdom. And that's what Jesus wants for us. And that is why Jesus is like, don't stop them from coming to me. Don't hinder them. Welcome them. Let them come to me. Let me pray for them. Let me bless them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Have you already lost sight of what I said? If you want to be great in my kingdom, if you want to enter into my kingdom, you need to become like a little child. The kingdom of heaven belongs to little children because they know they can't do it. They don't have something to bring but themselves. They don't have the resources to live the life they were called to. They're not even fully aware of what that looks like or what it means, but they are willing to receive it. And Jesus' great joy is to give it to you. To give you this life. So, Father in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus, who shows us your heart for children. And thank you for sending him to invite us to become your children, to experience life in your kingdom as little children who are cared for and provided for, who are learning to walk in your ways. And we confess that in this room, we carry with us many different experiences as children ourselves and messages that we received about what children should be like. Some of them wonderful and gifts that have blessed us, but others that have hurt us. And in this moment, God, we want to lay those ones down. We don't want to carry them anymore. We want to welcome children the way you do. We want to bless them the way you do. And we want to grow as children of God. So we ask that you would help us to come to you daily, to keep our eyes fixed on you, because you are the one who changes and reforms and transforms our hearts. We want to be people who, wherever we go, wherever we encounter children, we express your very heart, your warmth, your care, and extend your blessing to them the way you do in this passage. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.